fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports in African Athletics. Our big story this week was Kelvin Kiptum clocking a new world record of 2 hours and 35 seconds to win the Chicago Marathon on October 8th. Kiptum's time broke the previous mark of 2 hours, 1 minute, and 9 seconds set by fellow Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge at the 2022 Berlin Marathon. Now, Kiptum's record-breaking performance also overshadowed Dutch star Stefan Hassan, who set a course record of 2 hours, 13 minutes, and 44 seconds in winning the women's race in Chicago. Hassan ran the second fastest marathon ever by a woman, trailing only Ethiopia's Tigist Assefa, who won the Berlin Marathon last month in a world record time of 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 53 seconds. Stefan Hassan and Kelvin Kiptum are both relatively new to the marathon distance. Chicago was the second career marathon for Hassan and third for Kiptum. And if we go back 6 months, we'll see familiar names, Kelvin Kiptum and Stefan Hassan, winning the men's and women's titles at the London Marathon. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to the post-race report from the energetic Andy Edwards in the British capital. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What can you say about the life story so far of Stefan Hassan, a double Olympic champion on the track in Tokyo 2 years ago, having arrived as a teenage refugee from Ethiopia in the Netherlands in 2011, and who beat one of the best women's fields ever assembled for a marathon on her debut at the distance, after appearing to be on the brink of dropping out because of injury early in the race. Hassan admitted beforehand that she was embarking on a journey into the unknown, that she was facing some of the best in the world, including the Olympic champion Peres Cheptegei of Kenya, Ethiopia's winner last year in London, Yanisef Yuhalolor, and the world record holder Bridget Koskei of Kenya. Hassan admitted after victory that she cried on the morning of the race, so great was her agitation, exacerbated by a thigh injury which she forgot to ask the physio to tape. Well before halfway, she looked in trouble, stopping to stretch the leg and hip muscles. Many an experienced observer was saying at the time, drop out and save yourself for the track season. Stefan Hassan was not in the mood to take such advice. At halfway, she was 11 seconds down on the leading pack, who was steaming along at 2 hours 18 finishing pace. World record holder Bridget Koskei had dropped out injured within the first mile, but Peres Cheptegei was pushing the pace in a strong group. Yet again, fate challenged her. At 40 kilometres, she nearly crashed into the lead motorcycle when reaching for her drinks bottle. She made up the leeway, but was third with 200 metres remaining down the home straight when she turned on her track speed. Stefan Hassan won in 2 hours, 18 minutes, 33 seconds, finishing 3 seconds ahead of Alemu Megertu of Ethiopia, with Peres Cheptegei, the Olympic champion, another second down. Before the race, Hassan admitted she was heading into the unknown, and this performance was simply unforgettable.
So 1,000 things going on, no? Because it's unknown, you know, I don't know, and just the journey, I have no idea. And my thing is, like, mostly I'm really curious, and I'm also at the same time very nervous. Where is how it's going to go, how hard it is, how pain is, what is, like, what is the challenge, actually? Is this good? Is it just learning when it's going to be well or not? This is like...
Does Eliud Kipchoge have reason to worry about the threat from fellow Kelvin Kiptum for his marathon crown? You bet he does. Kipton broke the London course record in his second race at the distance, with his time of 2 hours, 1 minute and 25 seconds.
I'm very happy to run my second fastest time in history. My preparation was good. Everything was going on well. The secret is training. I've been training a lot. Everything is good. My training, very okay. I was very happy to be invited in London. I love the crowd cheering. That gave me a lot of motivation. I keep on pushing.
And all this after Kipton ran the third fastest marathon in history when winning on his debut at the distance in Valencia in December. Eliud Kipchoge was only sixth in Boston a week ago, and his psychological dominance may well have been broken for good. And he was there to witness the challenge to his throne in London, having been given the role of official race starter. There was a personal best for Geoffrey Kamworor of Kenya as runner-up with 2 hours 4 minutes and 23. And the world champion Tamarat Tola of Ethiopia delivered another consistent performance in third place, but was over 3 minutes behind the mighty Kelvin Kiptum. Marathon fans will talk about this day for a long time to come. For the sunny side of sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Kelvin Kiptum and Sifan Hassan, who won the men's and women's titles at the 2023 London Marathon and the 2023 Chicago Marathon. Kenya's Faith Kipyegon and the Ethiopians Gudaf Sege and Tigist Assefa are among 11 nominees for the Women's World Athlete of the Year Award. All three athletes set world records in 2023. As I mentioned earlier, Assefa set a new women's marathon record last month in Berlin, Germany. Sege set a 5,000 meters world record. And Kipyegon set world records at three distances, 1,500 meters, the mile, and 5,000 meters. Now, Faith Kipyegon held the 5,000 meters mark for about 3 months. Sege broke it last month at the final Diamond League meet of the year in Eugene, Oregon, where she finished in 14 minutes and 21 one-hundredths of a second. The Women's World Athlete of the Year for 2023 will be announced on December 11th. Women's professional basketball. The Las Vegas Aces are closing in on a second consecutive WNBA championship. Yes, Las Vegas came up aces once again Wednesday night when they beat the visiting New York Liberty 104-76 to take a 2-0 lead in the best-of-5 WNBA Finals. Two-time league most valuable player Aja Wilson led the Aces with 26 points and 15 rebounds. Jackie Young added 24 points and 8 rebounds for the Aces. Jonquel Jones tallied 22 points and grabbed 10 rebounds for New York. The series now moves to New York for Game 3 on Sunday. The Las Vegas Aces are bidding to become the first WNBA team to win back-to-back titles since the Los Angeles Sparks in 2001 and 2002. Now, the WNBA Finals are taking place as the NBA, the National Basketball Association, holds preseason games. 4 months ago, the Denver Nuggets lifted their first NBA trophy, beating the Miami Heat 4-1 in the NBA Finals. In another sunny side of sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to my report. The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat 94-89 to win their first National Basketball Association championship. The Nuggets won the best-of-7 NBA Finals 4-1. Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 5, grabbed 16 rebounds, and was named the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
It's good. We did a job. I think we played the best basketball in the postseason, but I think we were there playing the best basketball. You know, today we didn't make shots, but still we defend. But it's a good feeling when you know that you did something that nobody believes, and just it was just us. It's just the organization of Denver Nuggets believe in us. Every player believe in each other, and I think that's the most important thing.
Nikola Jokic lifted the NBA trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy one day after Novak Djokovic won his record 23rd major singles title at the French Open tennis tournament. Jokic was asked if this is the greatest moment for Serbian athletes.
Gotta be. You know, sport is something that is always in Serbia. Was something that put us in front of everybody, even like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But now when we have a Djokovic who won probably the best ever, for us, he's the best ever, of course. And now we have a NBA championship, and I think it's a really good moment to be a Serbian.
Meanwhile, another Denver star, Jamal Murray, scored 14 points in Game 5 and got quite emotional during the trophy presentation ceremony.
It was really hard to put into words, still is. I couldn't even hold it in. You know, I don't know. I couldn't really hold it in. It was just a surreal moment, and everything was hitting, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything was hitting at once, from the journey to the celebration with the guys to enjoying the moment to looking back on the rehab to looking back as myself as a kid, as the other viewer, you know what I'm saying? Looking from the crowd in or from the camera lens in, and now being able to look back at them, you know what I'm saying? So it was a lot. I couldn't hold it in. It was just something I've been working for my whole life. I think Mike said it, Porter, you know, this is everybody. Every real hooper, you know, wants to be on this stage and playing the game and be in this moment. So to see it full circle, you know, going from my rehab, not being able to walk, go up the stairs, like not just for a month or two, you know what I'm saying? It was for a long time. And a lot of different things going through my head, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and real ones. Like I said, just to see it full circle and have total belief in myself, had the team have total belief in me, people back home had total belief in me, that's all I could ever ask for, and just to see like this is amazing.
Denver's head coach is Michael Malone. At the post-game news conference, he was asked about the journey he's been on with Nikola Jokic to win the NBA title.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, two MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship, you know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like he's kind of acting like this was like another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. So, you know, I love Nikola 8 years, love Jamal 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, to challenge ourselves, to get better collectively, individually. So, yeah, it's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person, and I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
Michael Malone's coaching counterpart for the Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Now, obviously, we didn't get the final win, but sometimes, you know, that's true in sport and also in life, that you don't always get what you want. But there's no regrets from our side. Everybody, staff, player alike in the locker room, put themselves out there and put themselves into the team, whatever was best for the team. And the tough pill to swallow is it just wasn't good enough. We ran it up against a team that was just better than us in this series. You have to tip your hat to them. That I said it, but they're one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They're well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. Now, Spoelstra has certainly been deserving of the NBA trophy in past years. He was an assistant coach when Miami won the NBA title in 2006, and he was Miami's head coach for back-to-back NBA championships in 2012 and 2013. As I mentioned, this was the first NBA championship for the Denver Nuggets. A little history about the team. Denver was founded in 1967 when it became a member of the now defunct American Basketball Association. I used to love the red, white, and blue basketball the league played with, that is the ABA. The Nuggets joined the NBA in 1976, so it's been a long, long wait, 47 years for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, almost a half century to win their first NBA title. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Messi, through to Campana.
Yes, Lionel Messi has been remarkable to watch during his great football career. Now viewers can watch more of Messi in a six-part series that's now streaming on the Apple TV Plus platform. The show is titled Messi Meets America, and it showcases Messi's journey to Major League Soccer after winning the World Cup last year with Argentina. The show's executive producer is Scott Boggins.
You know, we have a great partnership with MLS and with Inter Miami that has provided this opportunity to embed ourselves with the team during this, you know, absolutely transformative moment for not only that organization, but for soccer in America. This just didn't happen in July. There was many, many, many months that led into this. And when you can, and in the first episode, you know, it starts with David Beckham, who he made his own personal decision to come to the MLS back in 2007. And part of that process and that agreement was that he would someday become an owner himself of a franchise. That franchise became Inter Miami, and David understood that and saw the opportunity, as well as Jorge Mas and the ownership group at Inter Miami, to bring in the game's best.
Boggins says Messi was incredibly cooperative with his time during the filming of the show. He also thanks Inter Miami for their support.
They really appreciated that because they knew that we were going to be there throughout the entire duration of the season and that we were there to try to tell, you know, the story, not just of that singular event, but of the season. And so we took it very slow with them and we were able to capture, as viewers will see in the 6 episodes, really priceless moments.
Does a viewer need to be a Messi or a sports fan to enjoy some of those priceless moments?
They don't. And that's the beauty of this, because what Lionel Messi means to a lot of folks is more than the pitch. Yeah, he's magical on the pitch. That's clear. What he does is no one else can do. But he represents something more to the community. And so that was an amazing opportunity for us to be able to try to tell that side of the story.
Lionel Messi's star-studded story continues later Thursday evening in Buenos Aires, where Argentina will host Paraguay in a World Cup qualifying match. Messi missed considerable time with Inter Miami in the past month, and there are question marks about his fitness. But Messi participated in Argentina's training session on Tuesday and, by all accounts, was fully involved. So we'll wait and see if the 36-year-old Messi gets a lot of minutes this evening against Paraguay. In African men's football, the Ivorian commercial capital of Abidjan is the venue this evening for the CAF Africa Cup of Nations draw. 24 teams will be drawn into 6 groups of 4 each for next year's big tournament in Ivory Coast. The qualified teams are, in alphabetical order, Algeria, Angola, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, Cape Verde, Democratic Republic of Congo, Egypt, Equatorial Guinea, Gambia, Ghana, Guinea-Bissau, host Ivory Coast, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Mozambique, Namibia, Nigeria, defending Nations Cup champion Senegal, South Africa, Tanzania, Tunisia, and Zambia. The Africa Cup of Nations tournament will be held from January 13th to February 11th, 2024. And we'll have the Nations Cup groupings for you on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. In African women's football, we've reached the semifinal stage at the 2023 CASAFA Women's Cup in South Africa. Taking a look at Friday's matches, defending champion Zambia will play Zimbabwe, and Malawi will meet Mozambique. Myron Nika has a preview for us from Durban. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. We're set for a bumper weekend of football in the city of Johannesburg. Only 4 teams are left following an entertaining round-robin phase with 61 goals netted across the 18 matches. Zambia are on course to defend their title, but will have to overcome a spirited Zimbabwe team first. Copper Queens assistant coach Florence Mwila says they're proud of the exploits of their young squad that they've brought over for the competition.
But we're ready to face anyone at the semi-finals because the teams that we're going to face are tough. And so we also have to go in stronger. I think the confidence levels are going high for the new girls. We see the new players getting hat-tricks, scoring goals. Then we know that we're headed in the right direction.
Zimbabwe topped their group to progress and will fancy their chances against Zambia. It's been just 3 months since FIFA lifted an 18-month-long international match ban on the country following government interference in the Zimbabwe Football Association. Head coach Shadrack Mlautsi says this is the first step to reigniting football in the country.
It means a lot to us. The girls have been playing club football, so we are trying to put structures into place. These girls have been playing club football during that period of isolation. So as we move forward, the plan is to continuously improve on the professionalism of our league and make sure that these girls are well-funded. Then at the same time, in international football, we compete in different qualifiers, FIFA World Cup or WAFCON, Olympic qualifiers, but it's going to be a process, isn't it?
Malawi are the only team to have won all three of their matches so far. They take on Mozambique, whose attack is led by Temwa Chawinga, the leading goalscorer in the competition, with 7. Coach Luis Victor Fumo predicts an entertaining clash.
But we know that it's going to be another hell of a game. I mean, we know Malawi is a very strong team. They're very strong forwards there. The top goal scorer plays for Malawi. But sorry, we don't know what's going to happen. It's football. We'll be prepared, definitely, for the game against Malawi.
For the first time in the tournament's history, the video assistant referee will come into play. It's a groundbreaking move for the competition. Mlaudzi praised the local organizing committee for their foresight.
I would be delighted. Yeah, it's the age of the fourth industrialization. We need IT to assist maybe with decision making, especially now moving into crunch games, the quarterfinals. So it's important that we make use of technology, isn't it? So that when it comes to controversial moments, key decisions, the match officials are assisted. But they've done relatively well. Of course, there are little decisions here and there that they miss, but these are 50-50 decisions, so you can never really fault them. Overall, I've thought they've done excellently, particularly the offside rule. Yeah, I've seen great improvement in that regard. So with the introduction of VAR, I suppose it can only get better and better.
The losing semi-finalists will square off for the bronze medal on Sunday. That match will serve as a curtain raiser for the main event. The big final will be staged at 3 p.m. Central African time. For the Sunny Side of Sport, I'm Myron Nyker in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. Major League Baseball, Arizona, Philadelphia, and Houston all scored victories Wednesday in playoff action. The AP's Josh Roundtree reports.
Three games in baseball's playoffs Wednesday. We start in Arizona, where the Diamondbacks are moving on. More from Dave Ferry.
The Diamondbacks are in the NLCS for the first time since 2007 after completing a three-game sweep of the 100-win Dodgers 4-2. Diamondbacks manager Torey Lovullo.
I don't think anybody gave us a chance to be here. I don't think anybody gave us a chance to win the games that we've won against the teams that we had to play. And that's what I'm most proud of.
Arizona advanced by belting a postseason record 4 home runs in a single inning as Geraldo Perdomo, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, and Gabriel Moreno hit solo shots in the third. 6 Diamondbacks pitchers combined on a 7-hitter and blanked Los Angeles until the 7th.
The Phillies are a win away from joining Arizona in the NLCS. They beat Atlanta 10-2 in Game 3 of their series, taking a 2-1 series lead. Bryce Harper, a pair of homers in the win.
We need to score runs early and get it going, and we have such a great fan base that's loud, and it's hard to come in here and play. And like I said, it's a really good team over there. So to be able to jump on them early and stay on it was big for us.
In Houston, the Astros advancing to the ALCS for the 7th straight year after topping the Twins 3-2 in Game 4. Jose Abreu homered and drove in 2. It's a matchup with the Rangers next for Dusty Baker's team.
We really wanted it, especially because you don't want to go back home to play that 5th game if you don't have to, and then we had to burn Verlander. So now, both of our teams, Texas and us, are pretty, rested in our pens and in our starting rotation. So it should be a heck of a series.
I'm Josh Roundtree.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-Minute VOA Newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
And that wraps up the October 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.